You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Let's turn our Bibles to Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52, as we go through this incredible story. Verse 46, when Jesus and his disciples had passed through Jericho, you can imagine as Jesus and his disciples were passing through Jericho, what happened at Jericho in the Old Testament? The walls came tumbling down. It had been locked in. It was a fortress. Nobody could get in and nobody could get out. And here Jesus and his disciples were passing through Jericho, where the walls of the fortress, the walls that were stronghold to the presence of God, had come tumbling down. They were standing on ground where strongholds had come under their feet. And this is where Jesus and the disciples were coming through. Good things can happen in Jericho. Great things had happened, but there were still more supernatural things to come. When Jesus and his disciples had passed through Jericho, a large crowd joined them. Upon leaving the village, they met a blind beggar sitting on the side of the road named Timai, the son of Timai. When he heard this blind man that Jesus was from Nazareth was passing by, he began to shout out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me and my affliction. Heal me." I think about the great distress that a person who is blind would be feeling. I'm not sure what my capacity or my endurance would be with such hindrance, with such suffering, with such affliction, being a man who was blind. I can't imagine the grief or the sorrow that I would feel being so restrained and so affected by this disease. Something else about this blind man is that he was identified by everybody. You've heard me say a couple of weeks ago that he was endorsed as a beggar from the government. He wore a special jacket over him, identifying him as a blind man that was officially allowed to beg in the streets. And here he was, identified by what crippled him, identified by what afflicted him, identified by what restrained him to all the crowd around him. What sort of sorrow would a person feel being identified by the thing that crippled them to everybody around them? And here, in this moment, he hears about Jesus. Jesus who heals. Jesus who saves. The message had got into his heart. He needed that message in his heart because of that grief and sorrow. And I start to think about that grief and sorrow in a man's heart. And I start to think about the prophet Samuel. Samuel found himself in a place of great grief and great sorrow. King Saul had gone and sinned against God so greatly, a king that they had cherished, a king that they had honored, a king that they had loved. And here the prophet Samuel was in this place mourning for a king that had been lost. A king that had fallen into sin. Everything that they have placed in honor has now been crushed to their feet. And you see the prophet Samuel in a place of great grief, of great sorrow, and great mourning. Have you ever found yourself in that place where your sorrow and your grief was identifying you to all those around? We pick up the story in 1 Samuel chapter 16, and it says, "The Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him of king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to a new space. I'm sending you to a new assignment. I'm sending you to a new appointment in me. You are to see a new king, Jesse of Bethlehem, his father. I have chosen one of his sons to be king.'" You see, God found the prophet Samuel at this place of great grief and sorrow. But here the Spirit of the Lord is saying into his hearts words that would burn within his spirit. Samuel, it's time to stop mourning. It's time to stop grieving. It's time to get up from what is identifying you. It's time to get up with what is restraining you from my call on your life. Fill your horn with oil. What does that mean? Fill your spirit with my presence, with my power. It is my presence and my power that is going to break off the strongholds of restraint that are trying to keep you down in grief and sorrow. Samuel, I've not called you to stay and to mourn and to grieve and be identified this. I've called you to rise up. How can I rise up? In my power and my presence. You may be wondering, how do I get out of what is identifying me? How do I stand up from what is trying to restrain me? And the Lord would say to you today, the Lord would speak into your spirit today, stop grieving this morning. Stop being restrained this morning. Fill your spirit with my oil, with my presence, with my power. It is my power and my presence that's going to lift you out of the strongholds of that restraint, and it will cause you to be on assignment. How do you be on assignment this morning? Fill your spirit with God's presence and his power, and it will cause you to rise up in God's assignment in taking the territory of Geelong. Fill your spirit with his power and his presence, giving you supernatural courage and ability to go to whom he is sending you to go. This morning, church, what we need to understand is that his anointing for you is to raise kings and priests who will worship him and him alone. What can appear as one of the most traumatic events in your life can become your greatest turning point when filled with the power and the presence of God. It is only his presence that can cause you to rise up from your affliction and cause you to be on assignment for him. He is wanting to show you the kings and the priests that are called to be sons and daughters who will worship God and worship God alone. But you need to see the kings and priests with his power and his presence. He needs to reveal to you who they are, whom to send you to. It's not just for your life, it's for a whole city. It's the anointing that'll anoint kings. It's the king's anointing that's upon you. It's time for you to be filled with his power and his presence and to be on assignment and go. Go find people that he has ordained to be kings and priests. Have courage this morning. Get up. Jesus is calling you. Isaiah said it like this in chapter 10, verse 27. In that day, the Lord will remove the heavy burden from your shoulders and break off the yoke of bondage from your necks because of this heavy anointing upon you. When you are filled with the power and the presence of God and you don't just stop at being filled, it's a continual filling like a washing machine that never turns off, filling you with the power and the presence of God that it becomes such a heavy anointing upon you. It not only breaks the bondage off of you, but it breaks the yokes of slavery, of bondage on everybody that comes and meets with you. You have been called through the anointing of God that is on you to see the captive be free. God's heavy anointing. It's his ability. That's what it means. It means it's his might. It's his strength is upon you to go. Luke 4:18 says it like this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to be hope for the poor, freedom for the brokenhearted, new eyes for the blind, and to preach the good news of the gospel to prisoners. You are set free. I have come to share this message of Jubilee, for the time of God's great acceptance has begun. Anointing is the ability to do in God what you cannot do in the natural. In the natural, we cannot take a territory for Jesus Christ. But in God, with his strategies, walls can come tumbling down as the praises go up. God is giving instructions to individuals and corporately to this church because he's called you to see the prisoner set free. The anointing is the ability of God to do supernaturally what you cannot do in the natural. It's supernatural courage to get up from your restriction, to stand up and walk in the power and the presence of God. It's abandonment to what identifies you in the natural, and it's opening up your heart and your mind to everything your Creator has identified you to be. You are powerful this morning. You are filled with his presence and power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. All you have to do is believe. Abandon the unbelief. Abandon the restriction. Abandon the affliction and rise up in who you've been created to be in God. Amen. I try not to be so passionate. I really do try. I have conversations with God before I get up. Now, how are we going to do it today, God? Can I do it quietly? It's never going to happen. But you know me. Let me tell you what God wants to do with you this morning. He wants to take you in your belief system, in the areas of trust and faith, and he wants to strengthen it with supernatural courage this morning. You see, this is where we can start. God, I know that you can heal, but I'm not sure if you will do it for me. God wants to take you from that belief system, and he wants to strengthen it with his might, the mind of Christ this morning. He then moves you to a place where you might say to yourself, this is what I did. I went from, I know that God can, but I don't know if he'll do it for me. Then it changed. I started to say, well, why not? Why not? Why can't God do it? Why not? But I tell you the place where he wants to move you to. God, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I simply won't take no for an answer. I'm going to believe you wholeheartedly. I'm going to abandon every sense, every statement, every word of unbelief, and I'm going to set my sights on you just like that blind man. And even though the crowd of unbelief is coming against me, even though the demonic is trying to stop me, God, my eyes are centered on you this morning. I'm going to abandon what's trying to hold me back. I'm going to abandon and what's trying to identify me, what people who have said over me, what the enemy has called me to be. And I'm going to believe you, God, with my eyes and my heart fixed upon you. And I'm going to come to you and get what it is that you're so ready to give to me. No matter how long it takes, it's not a matter of if anymore. It's a matter of when. And that's the realm of faith that God wants to move his people into, because that realm brings strongholds down. That realm sets the captives free. That realm opens blind eyes. That realm sees the dead raised to life. And that's what God has promised me in this move of God, that you will see Lazarus all over Geelong rising from what people thought that they were dead and rising to the life of Christ. It is no longer I who liveth, but it's Christ who lives in me. And this life I now live, I live in faith in the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. It is no longer you who lives anymore. Raise up in the power and the presence of God that he's anointed you to have. Mark 10:46-52, those in the crowd were indignant and scolded him for making so much of a disturbance, but he kept shouting. That's the key. Jesus was passing him by. Jesus knew he was blind. That's what Jesus was on this earth to do, is to be God in flesh, healing the sick, raising the dead. And here is Jesus with a calling, with an anointing, with the power to heal, walking straight past blind Bartimaeus. Have you ever felt like God has walked past you, but instead of shouting out, you stayed sat down? filled with disappointment. Jesus just walks past me. Doesn't he know my affliction? Doesn't he see my disease? Doesn't he see the cancer that's riddling my body? Why is Jesus passing by me? Just maybe that God has a greater plan for you than what you even thought was on your life. Maybe, just maybe, God is asking you to rise up even when you feel like all hope is lost. But because of your resilient faith that just says, no matter what happens, I'm going after God. And so you see blind Bartimaeus, even though Jesus is passing by, even though Jesus is ignoring him, time's going on. Isn't time a killer? Isn't time a distraction? Isn't time just bring depressiveness to a Christian when you think, God, I know you can, but why are you walking past? Why is it taking so long? But then you see the heart of blind Bartimaeus, that it's not even time that can hold him down. It's not even the crowd shouting at him to sit down that can make him stay in that restrained position. But he gets up with his eyes firmly on Jesus and starts shouting all the more. The devil wants to shout at you. The devil wants you to sit down and be identified by what he wants to identify you according to this world. But God is looking for a people who will stand in his name, who will fill their lives with his power and presence, and stand up amongst the crowd. Is that you this morning? God is calling every single one of us to stand, no matter the timing, no matter the restriction. Will you stand this morning and press in to a God who is so willing to give you what you need? It's going to be tough out there. There's an enemy that is holding Geelong. It's not going to be easy out there. But we already have the victory, and we're going to have to learn how to enforce the victory and get up and be resilient in the power and the presence of God. Not by might, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. The enemy was holding something that belonged to God. The enemy is holding something that belongs to God. They're God's sons and daughters. He knew them before they were born. The enemy is holding something that belongs to God. Who is going to be Moses? Who is going to be Moses? And let me tell you, I'm like Isaiah. Pick me. Pick me, I will go. I will go. Send me, God. Send me, God. Yeah, I've been broken hearted, but that time is over now. I started to fill up my spirit with your presence and your power. Pick me, send me, and I need to declare to Geelong and to the enemy that is holding the territory of Geelong, let his people go free, and keep saying it until the supernatural rises so much that the enemy will be defeated in this city of Geelong, and the churches will be full, and the people will be saved, and the brokenhearted will have joy again. Who's going to be Moses this morning? God is looking for people to stand and say to this city, let my people go. Who is it going to be today? Because it requires you, no matter what the crowd is saying, no matter what the enemy is identifying, it's going to ask you to stand up and keep standing and get in the face of Jesus until he's giving you what he's so ready to give you. Great deliverance has to happen. And he's calling us to stand, to abandon ourselves, what would hold us down, so we can come face to face with a deliverer. It's going to take a deliverer, and his name is Jesus Christ. And he's the greatest deliverer, and he's the greatest restorer, and he's the greatest savior. But you're going to have to come face to face with him so he can take off that blindness from the natural of what's identified us, and you can see in the face of Jesus to see what it is that he's saying to you. You need to come face to face with a deliverer. You have been called to see the captive set free. You have been called to see sight be recovered to the blind, that they may see who Jesus really is. God is bringing an invitation to this church, and his call is to come to him. Romans 12:12, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. I want God to be satisfied with me. I don't know the burden yet that God has for this city, but that's why I'm filling my spirit with His power and presence, that I break everything that has tried to conform me to the pattern of this world and renew my mind so I can see the way my deliverer sees for the city of Geelong. 1 Corinthians says this, you were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of human beings. God is inwardly transforming you by the Holy Spirit for the total transformation of how you think, because this will empower you. It's wrestling time. Genesis 32, verse 22 says this, and he arose that night, Jacob, and took his two wives with two female servants and his 11 sons and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over to the brook and sent over what he said. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw, look at this, when he saw he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, Jacob, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob, and he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. It's gonna require a struggle. God, I'm not gonna let you go until you bless me. You know why this is my heart's cry at the moment? Because I don't have enough power. The same power that rose Jesus Christ from the dead is the same power that lives in me. But I have to become so full that it leaks and floods out of me. And it's not doing that yet. So there's a struggle that's going on. God, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I'm not seeing the captive set free. I'm not seeing deliverance come. I'm not seeing healing to that cancer of what I want to see. So God, I'm wrestling with you. I'm getting face to face with you until you know who I am. Not who I am in the natural, who I am when I'm in front of your face. That you change my name, because something has changed on the inside, but something has changed on the outside, and deliverance is occurring. This church is going to be full. It's going to be filled to overflowing because there's a wrestling that's coming on with His people, and we're saying, God, I'm not going to let you go until this church is full, until Geelong has been saved, until cancer is off your body, until depression is lifted. There's going to be a struggle, God, and it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when it breaks. Then Jacob asked, saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it that you ask about my name? And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Just as he crossed over, Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip, forever changed and altered in the natural. Forever marked by God, that I wrestled with God and I saw Him face to face, and it changed and it shifted things, that I became apparently, physically, supernaturally different because I wrestled and I didn't give up and I won. How do you feel about wrestling? God's like, oh, here she is again. You betcha. You betcha. I'm not going until you bless me. Have courage, get up. Jesus is calling you. I remember this wrestling that took place in my own life. I was in India, and I was teaching the little group of girls how to hear from God. And I sat down with them and I said, oh, as soon as you hear something from God, just let me know. Seconds later, I get a little tap. Naomi, Jesus wants to take you to heaven. And I thought, oh, that was too quick. Maybe I didn't explain it properly. Maybe I didn't talk through it enough. Maybe they're too young and didn't understand. And how in the world could she hear so quickly? Does God really want to do that? Human thinking. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Believe what God says to you. And there came this wrestling time. You see, God has made a promise with you. A promise is based on a covenant that God cannot lie to you once he has promised you. No matter the time, no matter the circumstance, God will not lie to you. His word does not fail, will, shall never, ever fail. He will deliver it as promised. And so I started to believe the word, but when you get a promise from God, you're going to have to wrestle with it. Why? Because you have to come face to face with the promise giver to get the interpretation, to get the supernatural release on that promise. And so as I was sitting there in that room for 50 minutes to an hour, I started wrestling with God. God, I want to go to heaven. God, this word, this promise that you have given to me right now, I fully believe, I accept it, I receive, and everything in my mind trying to stay in this moment. And then after 50 minutes of wrestling, I felt this almighty hand of God come down from heaven and grab my hand like 240 volts of electricity. I felt like I'd been electrocuted. I jumped in that moment because of the fierceness of the power. And then I saw, as I was lifted up, I saw in that moment the picture of heaven with the gold streets that looked like bronze. And I saw the fortresses and the palaces. I saw it. It didn't last long, but what I know is that I'd been encountered face to face with the Lord God because I wrestled in my promise. God wants you to start wrestling for the promises of God, because when the promises of God get delivered upon you, those promises are not just for you. It's for mission. It's for it to flood and spill over to those around you with what you have seen in God. Mark 10 says this. Jesus stopped and said to the blind man, call him to come to me. Call him to come to me. I've seen him persisting. I've seen him shouting out. He's not stopping. I've watched the crowds. Not even the enemy can stop him through the crowds. Not even what's identifying him to everybody. That's not even stopping him now. He's leaving it all. He's abandoning it all. Call him to come to me, Jesus said. So they went to the blind man and said, have courage. The angel of the Lord would come to you this morning, Gateway Church, and say, have courage. I've got an assignment for you. Get up. Jesus is calling you. So he threw off his beggar's cloak, jumped up, and he made his way to Jesus. You know, in India, I never felt the power until I got up. I wasn't sitting on the bed just crying and waiting for it to drop on me. I had to get up. The power of God wants to be released on you, but it's not going to come through a lazy boy chair experience. You have to get up because you've already been anointed to go. What you need to do is get filled with his power and his presence. The blind man heard the stories about Jesus. And you remember on the road to Emmaus, they said, didn't our hearts burn within us when we heard Jesus just unraveling the scriptures? Didn't our heart burn within us? There was a burning that got into the blind man's heart. His words are burning within me. Words of truth, words of deliverance. Is this Jesus who can not only heal the sick, but can he heal me? Those words of the Father, the words of the promises, the words of the testimony is burning within me, and all I've got to do is get up and come face to face with Jesus. And as he did and fought the crowds and fought the restrictions, Jesus saw a man who was willing to get up and said, call him to me. And that's what's going to happen to you as you get up in God's presence and His power. Jesus is going to call you to Himself, where you are going to be face to face, and He's going to say, "What is it that I can do for you? What do you want for your family? What do you want for this city? What do you want to take place in Geelong? I want to see cancer go in Jesus' name. I want to see depression be lifted off in Jesus' name. I want to see those who are in bondage in their mind to be so set free that the words of Jesus become burning in their heart as revelation knowledge of the one that they thought they lost has now been found, and they see Jesus walking next to them. He wants to lift your sorrow. He wants to lift your heartache. He wants to lift your depression into a place where you are completely free." Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The man replied, "My master, please let me see again. God, let me see Geelong. God, let me see people as you see them. God, let me see what we can do in this city. God, let me see how you're going to fill this church. God, let me see how cancer is going to be broken off. God, let me see how the oppressed can go free. God, let me see myself as you have created me to be." Jesus responds, "Your faith heals you. Go in peace." With your sight restored, all at once the man's eyes opened. Your eyes are gonna be opened. This is a promise from God this morning. And he could see again, and he began at once to follow Jesus, walking down the road with him. "I don't want to be following my soul. I don't want to be following my emotions. I don't want to be following my own thinking. I want to follow Jesus." He moves in the supernatural. He restores sight to the blind. He is the good news of the gospel. He is hope to the poor. He is sight to the blind. He is joy for the brokenhearted. And that's who I want to follow this morning. And he's asking you, and he's calling you, will you stand up and go and be on mission? Because if you do, if you wrestle, if you get in his face, if you rise up in faith, you will have what you ask for. I don't doubt it for a second. No ifs and buts. There's not one ounce of doubt. You cannot tell me otherwise. I am fixed to his face in belief that God is going to fill this church in October. He's going to start bringing people in and bringing people in. We're going to start to experience deliverance. It's going to happen, but he needs you to be the church. Filled with his power, filled with his presence. He was delivered, that blind man no more. Saved, restored, healed, rescued, preserved, made whole, complete, supernatural breakthrough. Matthew 19:26, Jesus looked at them intently and said, "Humanly speaking, it's impossible. I know what he's told us and what he's given us and what he's promised us. In the natural, completely impossible. In the human, in us as humans, humanly speaking, it's impossible. But with God, but with God, but with God, but with God, the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. But with God, the Red Seas were open. But with God, manna came down from heaven. But with God, the children of Israel were set free. But with God, blind eyes were opened. But with God, slaves were freed out of bondage. But with God, those who faced a Christless eternity now have eternity with Jesus Christ, because he is the good news of the gospel. With all things with God, it is possible. And lastly, Hebrews 4. Now that we know what we have, you got to know what you have. Jesus, this great high priest with ready access to God, let's not let this assignment slip through our fingers. I don't want to be passed on to anybody else because we didn't stand up and say yes. Let's not let it be slipping through our fingers. We don't have a high priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing. He's experienced it all but the sin. So let's walk right up to him and get what he's ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help, have courage, get up. Jesus is calling you to be on mission. Holy Spirit, you are so wonderful, God. You are so wonderful. Holy Spirit, I pray for every single person here this morning that, Father, you have empowered them to see. You have anointed them before the beginning of time to walk in supernatural courage, to walk in ability and might and strength of the Holy Ghost, that you live and reside and you dwell within each one of us with an anointing that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. We don't need anybody else's anointing. We need to walk in the powerful one that you've already given us from birth. Before you even knew us, you anointed us to preach the good news to the poor. You have anointed us to rise up in the city of Geelong and to see the captive set free, to bring sight to the blind, because you've empowered your church to see the good news of the gospel and to see the city of Geelong set free for Jesus' name. You have empowered us to see. So we commit ourselves to you this day in consecration, because we're stepping over to the other side. We're stepping into the territory that you have promised us that we will possess. But God, this is a time of consecration through the month of October, where you are getting us ready, where you are preparing us. How are you preparing us? That we would get up and stand. And no matter what anything is saying around about us, that we will come face to face with you and receive what it is that we need to take the territory of Geelong. Each one you have called to rise up and deliver the people of Geelong through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray.